I have good news to share with every one of you today, whether you're a child or a teenager, whether you're an adult, a senior, adult, regardless of what age you are or where you are, I have good news that God has an amazing gift that He longs to give to you. It's a gift of love. Sounds so basic, but it's so big and so beautiful. God loves you. He loves you right where you are. And God longs, He desires with all that He has to give you this gift. And this gift will change your life in ways that you can't even imagine. You know the verse. For many of you, it is your favorite verse. Will you say it with me together? King James style, the way some of us learned it. Let's say John 3:16. For God those are Jesus' words. God so loved the world. The world, that's you. And God's love has no limitations. He didn't just love, but He so loved. More than we can imagine, more than our mind can comprehend, that's how much God loves. He loves everyone, not just a few, and not those who we would say, oh, they look so perfect, and oh, they're all put together. No, God loves all. Romans 5:8. The scripture goes even further when Paul said, for when we were still in our sin, Christ Jesus came to die for us. You talk about love. God's love, God so loved, He gave His Son. God loves us not because of who we are or what we do, but because God Himself is love. I want you to hear this clearly. There's not a one of you in this room. There's not a one, not a single person who is live streaming watching this morning. Not one person. Not one who can say, God doesn't love me. You don't know me, Pastor. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. God couldn't love me. Oh, yes, He can, and He does. So the question is, then why? Why do so many people not accept that gift of love? And by not accepting, why are so many seemingly separated from God and His love? Maybe some of you. Paul wrote further in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the plan, the purpose, the glory of God. All have sinned. We could camp there a while, for all of us know about it. I don't have to define sin. You know about sin. Each of us present here today, all of us know what it is to fall short of God's plan, to miss the mark, to choose our way and not God's way. And the result is sin. Is and always has been a lostness and a separation from God. Maybe it's too basic, but in my mind, sin is what separates. God is here and we are there, and it's not that God moved. We moved away from God. And that sin becomes this void, this barrier, this great divide between us and God. The Bible tells us that God made us to know Him and to love Him. And God made us to want to receive His love and to love Him in return. But for love to be love and God to be God and for you to be you, created by God, He gave you a choice. He gave you a choice. God did not make us to where we had to do what He told us to do. God would never force that love on us. In his divine, wonderful mind and manner, he made us as humanity to make choices. As a unique individual, we get to choose. And so you can choose to reject God, to reject his love, to reject this gift, to reject his forgiveness, and to say, I'll do this on my own. I'll just press on. I've got this. I'll just press on. But we need to hear the consequences of that decision. We have a choice, but with choices come consequences. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages. Wages are just payment. Wages are the due reward. And the just payment for your sin and my sin is death. I'm talking about spiritual death, a spiritual separation. We sin and we're separated from God. And really, we have no life apart from God. Oh, we're alive physically, but spiritually, that sin separates us and leaves us dead. And if we continue in that separation, if we make that choice to continue, then yes, we will experience not only spiritual death, but ultimate death, totally separated from God. The wages of sin is separation, but, notice that verse, but God's gift, free gift, is everlasting, eternal, an abundant life. Wages are earned. We earn our wages, but a gift is not earned. A gift is offered. God's gift is offered with no strings attached. God says in his word that he will give us eternal life. Eternal life forever with him. In the place of sin, and in the place of separation and death, God says, I want you to have the gift of love, the gift of life. I say, what a gift. What a gift. Now you may say, well, how can God remain true to his holiness? How can God remain who he is, holy, righteous God, and forgive unholy, unjust sinners like us? The answer is Jesus. Jesus alone. It's all because of Jesus who paid the price for your sin and my sin by his death. God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son. He gave him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I just mentioned this verse last Sunday. We talked about forgiving ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made righteous, be known as the righteousness of God through Christ. Christ not only died, but Jesus Christ rose from the dead, arose from the grave, conquered sin and death for all. And that victory can be ours. Jesus did that for us. Jesus died for us. So how do we receive that gift? How do we receive that free gift that God longs to give? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Paul said, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will receive the gift. For it's with the heart that you believe and you're justified, and it's with the mouth that you profess your faith and you experience salvation. You receive God's gift by putting your life and your faith in Jesus Christ. To believe in Christ is to take God at his word with all your heart, as best as you know how, with all of your being. You simply trust God that Jesus Christ is the answer, that Jesus Christ did forgive your sin, that Jesus Christ stands willing and wanting. He went to the cross for you. And the grave didn't win. He overcame the grave. He arose for you that you could live forever. And he longs to be your Savior. And he wants to be your Lord. To believe in Jesus, to believe in all that, is to then confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is who he says he was. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. When I was 9 years old, I was nine, and so like some of the kids here, I didn't understand it all. I didn't get it all, but I knew that God loved me, and I knew that I wanted to love God back, and I was better than John or most. I didn't sin a lot, but I knew that this sin thing had separated me, whatever that meant. I just knew I wanted to be with God forever, and that God had given Christ, he so loved, that he gave for me. Romans 10, 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every person. Every person who calls out to God through Christ can be saved. I guess that means in prayer, that unique language, that language of faith that we have with God, we call out in prayer to be saved, to be with God, to receive this free gift. Listen, it does not mean that you have to know everything about God's word. Aren't you glad? It does not mean that you say, well, I will do better and thus I will have salvation. No. It does not mean that you have to clean up your life so God will somehow like you and then accept you. No, it doesn't mean that you add one single thing to what Jesus has already done. The Bible says you simply call out in faith, oh God, I need you. Isn't that good news? Good news that even today in the midst of a global pandemic, even today on the last Sunday of January, whether you're in your home live streaming or whether you're in this sanctuary, wherever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you are today, the good news is you can pray by faith. Oh, God, I need you. Folks sometimes say, well, what words do you say? Are there certain words that you need to say? Is there a certain way you need to say it? Do Baptists say it one way and Church of Christ say it one way and Catholic? It's all the same. I don't think there's magical words. Maybe it's something like this. God, I confess to you that I am a sinner. And God will say, I know. I confess, I agree with you, God, that I am a sinner. God, I need help. I need a Savior. And God, I know I cannot save myself. I know that I'm separated from you, but I want to be with you. And I know, God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I know that Jesus Christ came out of the grave in order that I would never have to die eternally. Oh God, I turn from my sin. I confess my sin. I want to turn from my sin. Oh God, forgive me. of my sin. And God, right now, God, in whatever way and however you do it, come into my life. I want to be yours. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that's it. That's not according to what this church and what I say. That's according to Scripture. That's not according to Baptist tradition. It's according to the very Word of God, that when we pray a prayer of repentance, we pray by faith as best we know to pray. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes, not just with our head, but believes with our heart, believes with all that we have, whosoever believes shall not perish, but have life, everlasting life, eternal life abundant. And it's at that moment that God does His work. It's at that moment that God justifies and declares, "You are mine." God runs to meet us. We don't grovel back to God. He accepts us where we are while we were yet sinners. Remember, Christ loved us and died for us. Oh, what a gift. What a gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It wouldn't be a gift. It's a free gift of love and life from God. What a gift. You know, I think I could preach John 3:16 more than I do. I said the last 3 weeks when I preached on forgiveness that that's probably something I should preach on every year. Forgiveness of God, forgiveness of others, forgiveness of ourselves. But I hope in the years to come in my ministry that I will keep finding my way back to John 3:16. My father-in-law picked a pretty good verse to be his favorite. You and the boys and girls, you may choose a different verse to be your favorite. But most of all, I hope you choose to receive the gift with your name on it. God's gift of salvation. Oh, what a gift. We're going to sing a song that we've sung a lot, many times, "Just As I Am," because that's how God receives us. I've tried to preach it. That's your choice. You see, I don't think I've been called to coerce or to even persuade you. I think God can do that. I think God takes us where we are, and He gives us that still, small voice. Something within says, "Why don't you come to me?" Again, I was 9 years old, and I'm so glad that as a 9-year-old kid at Vacation Bible School that I heard the pastor make that call. And I knew I wanted to accept that gift. I'd have done it earlier, but I was afraid the preacher would hold me underwater and baptize me and drown me. The pastor came and sat on my front porch and talked through some of these verses with me. And I said, Yes, I want to be a follower. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus. Are you there today? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've prayed that prayer, when you've lifted your eyes and your heart? You can today. If you're home, live streaming, you can right there. You don't have to wait to come into this sanctuary. You can call me this week. I'll come and visit with you. We'll sit across. We'll wear a mask. But you don't need me. You can do right now with God what God has led you to do. So let me pray. Oh, God, we come just as we are. That's the only way you want us. We don't get our life cleaned up and then come to you. We don't wait until that certain day. We just come when you call. Maybe, God, you're calling some today. May we listen to that still small voice. And if you're calling, may we come right in our pew, in the balcony, at home, just as we are. Thanks, God, for the gift. Oh, what a gift. A gift of love indeed. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm going to be